Welcome to the Sportscast, October 16th, 2018. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on YouTube, iTunes, and follow us on Periscope and turn on the notification so you can receive updates on when is the next show for the Sportscast. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Alabama, one heck of a season. Every game has been a blowout. And this game that they played against Missouri this past weekend was a blowout, but it was the tightest game of the season for them. By defeating Missouri 39-10, and we got some more troubles with them. But we'll talk about it with Justin Riley, our SEC contributor. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Man, what is going on? Another great week, man. Huge week. It's all rivalry week. It's Tennessee hate week. Pretty exciting.
Before we get to Tennessee, let's go to Missouri. A lot of crazy things have happened. You know, it's sort of the middle of the season. How did you view this game?
Pretty interesting game to watch. I thought coming in, Alabama was going to have some challenges with the high-powered passing attack of one Drew Locke. And also, too, one of my fears was that we were going to have some problems with Trayvon Diggs being down and Savion Smith coming off the bench. He was benched earlier this year for lack of production. And so, had some question marks going in. As we watched the game, we had a little bit of a slow start. We scored on the second play instead of the first. But as always, Tua Tagovailoa looked absolutely amazing. 12 of 22, 265 yards with three touchdowns. Has yet to play a fourth quarter yet. This game mainly because he had a little bit of a scare, re-aggravated a knee sprain as he was taken off on one play to get a first down. He slid to get the first down, but injured his knee. So a little bit of a scary moment. Took a little bit for him to get up. Went back into the tent and was done for the night. Afterwards, Saban said that everything was good, that he's not worried about what his status going forward is going to be. That, as a matter of fact, he could have been reinserted. And Tua actually wanted to go back in the game, but he wouldn't let him just for precautions. So as Jalen Hurts finished the night and finished well, as always, the highlights or the output was generated by none other than one of the best receivers in the nation, Jerry Jeudy. Only three receptions for 147 yards and a touchdown. And then Devontae Smith, four receptions, 100 yards and a touchdown. Just amazing output from our wide receiving class. Has to be the most talented Alabama receiving corps we've ever had. However, Devontae, as mentioned earlier, was actually put out early in the game due to injury. Not quite sure if he's going to be ready to go against Tennessee. One of the highlights of the night was Jalen Hurts, 7 of 8 for 115 yards. Three rushes for 15 yards and a reception. Yes, he played wide receiver, 7 yards, but had a standing ovation for those 7 yards. Pretty awesome. I don't know of any other quarterback in the nation that gets a standing ovation every time he steps foot on the field. So, Raekwon Davis on the defensive side had 6 tackles and 7 punches. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, Raekwon got in a little bit of an altercation during the game. He was caught getting into a little bit of a scuffle, looked like an octagon takedown of a Missouri offensive lineman. Was throwing windmill punches and a couple of knees to the back of the head. But what was not highlighted during the game was the lineman in question was throwing punches at a teammate and playing quite dirty. And to follow up with that, as I watched several of the highlights after the game, In the background, several Missouri players are actually playing quite dirty or doing things to try to cause injury as well as just being completely unsportsmanlike, showing a very, very poor sense of class, if you will. Mac Wilson led all tacklers with 11 tackles and had a sack. Quinnen Williams was the beast of the night, had 7 tackles, and pretty much just tossed the Missouri offensive line around at will, had 1 sack, also had 1 safety. Savion Smith, as I mentioned earlier, who came in to replace Trayvon Diggs, had 4 tackles and 2 interceptions. So doubts were erased for that game, and definitely gives us a lot to look forward to from him going forward. Alabama have 564 total yards to Missouri's 212, which I was quite surprised. They pretty much rendered Drew Locke just powerless in this game. Didn't think that was going to happen. Matter of fact, the defense for Alabama played a lot better than they have in the past couple of weeks. Definitely looked much improved, definitely looked more disciplined, and they look like they are fighting with a purpose. But overall, looked decent against Missouri on homecoming. Didn't score our much accustomed 50 points, but, you know, doesn't really matter. We're not here to put up arena football numbers. And at this point, after the game, we just need to get off the field and keep some people healthy.
Yeah. Here's my takeaway of the game. Missouri made it competitive longer than most of the Alabama's opponents this season. Still shorthanded in the passing game, but was much more competitive against number 2 Georgia. Alabama, it continues to produce big plays early and then pretty much coast to a win. Fell well short of its nation leading 56 points a game. The defense fared well against one of the SEC's top offenses and have 4 sacks. How did you look at how did you see Drew Locke?
Well, at times he looked like the much praised quarterback, worthy of that praise. Made some really good throws, had some really on-point passes to his tight ends. Tight ends are very good. He was doing the best he can with the limited amount of resources he had around him. Very evident that he was missing his top 3 receivers. I don't believe any of them returned for this game, even the one that they anticipated could possibly make a return. So he wasn't able to do a whole lot. He played really out of sorts, had a couple of turnovers, some ill-advised throws, one nearly taken back for a pick 6. Definitely played out of character and had one of the, I guess, worst games statistically this season. But definitely showed some promises. I think if he would have had his receivers in there, quite possibly couldn't have been a different outcome. Definitely would have seen a much better performance from him.
I think Drew Locke has a lot of promise, perhaps a NFL draft, maybe a future NFL quarterback or so. Now, this whole two-out situation, you know, getting aggravated in his knee, how do you see the situation? Do you think maybe Jalen Hurts should, you know, just start the next game?
Well, that's actually a debate that's been just come up here recently. Greg McElroy of ESPN was talking about it on a segment he did during this week. Would it be ill-advised to play Tua this week against Tennessee, being that Alabama has enough talent, especially with Jalen Hurts at the helm, to beat Tennessee? Do you risk potentially aggravating that knee even more or making the situation even worse? It's kind of a toss-up. You know, selfishly, I would like to see the Tua show continue. I would like to see the Heisman campaign continue to grow stronger and stronger for him. But we got to look of what's best for the long run, not, you know, what's great in the near future. certainly think that we're very capable with Jalen Hurts leading the way against Tennessee. Coach Saban is trying to stress that the injury is not quite as big as what it may seem. But then again, that might just be his way of keeping the press quiet and from distracting the players this week and for the next couple of weeks. Wouldn't certainly be a bad idea to sit him, give him an opportunity to really fully rest and have a full 2 weeks before playing LSU. But I'm very confident that if Jalen Hurts does get more playing time, that he can get the job done. And I don't think we struggle with him. I think the dynamic changes a little bit. But nonetheless, he can get the job done.
Well, looking at Tennessee, they lost. Here are the games they lost to like the big teams in the SEC. They lost against Florida 47-21. They lost against Georgia 38-12. And they came close to Auburn 30-24. How do you see Tennessee for this weekend? Do you think they're a challenge? Do you think they'll be as tough as Missouri or a step behind?
Well, on paper, if you look at the stats, Tennessee is averaging 26 points per game and allowing 25.3 points per game. Not much offensive output, total yards, 366 per game, which includes 159 yards rushing and 207 yards passing. On paper, they're just not generating a lot offensively to really contend with Alabama. And it looks like one of those situations where Alabama should be able to roll with ease as they typically do against inferior opponents. Another thing to bring up note against Tennessee, they're dealing with injuries, but a lot of their players, with the exception of maybe a handful, are freshmen and sophomores. So we've got a very young Tennessee team. I do think that they're going to pose a little bit of a problem. They have for Alabama. I think they're coming off a very big emotional win over Auburn. Certainly no one expected that. Also, too, for those of you who do not follow the SEC regularly, let alone Alabama football regularly, this is a big rivalry game. It's Alabama's biggest rival, one of the longest-running rivalries in college football, and it's going to be played at home. This game is anointed as the third Saturday in October. And I think any time that you have two rivals clashing, I think that records as well as stats can kind of be pushed aside a little bit because it gets taken to a different level. Strange things can happen. Emotions are running high, and you get to see output from teams that you normally don't see. So I think Alabama can't sleep on Tennessee. I definitely think that Alabama is very capable of beating them, but they're going to have to be on top of their game in order to do so. A couple of things of note. Let's see, safety Trayvon Flowers for Tennessee, still out with a broken collarbone, going to be out another week. Like I said, very young team full of freshmen and sophomores, especially in the secondary. Todd Kelly Jr., he's one of the few upperclassmen, fifth-year senior safety, still trying to work his way back into the rotation after sustaining a fall from a wall in the offseason. And then on the offensive side of the ball, we got their quarterback, Jarrett Garantano, up until this previous game, has really put up pedestrian numbers, 80 of 25, 1,129 yards, 6 touchdowns, only 2 interceptions. This past week, he threw for a season high, perhaps a career high, to my belief, 328 yards and 2 touchdowns. So, not really generating a whole lot. The running backs, not really putting up big numbers, kind of a committee thing going with Ty Chandler. Best game that he's put up, 158 yards against a struggling UTEP. His season, he has 56 yards with 56 attempts, 297 yards, and a touchdown. At wide receiver position, they got some tall receivers, both 6'2". Sophomores, not not a whole lot of yards statistically. Then also back to the defense. Another thing, they lost their starting linebacker, Jonathan Combo, out for the season due to a torn ACL sustained against Auburn. So Tennessee's got a very young team showing promise at times. Jeremy Pruitt has definitely had his work cut out for him this season. Not many people expected a whole lot coming in, knowing what was returning and then what he was just going to have to work through his first season. So it's going to be an interesting game to watch if Alabama plays with tenacity and plays with discipline and just plays with a continued chip on their shoulder. They'll win. But again, can't sleep on Tennessee and their home.
They're no Citadel, but Alabama, if I was Alabama, I'll start with Jalen Hurts. And if Alabama's struggling with Jalen Hurts, I'll put in two out.
I think Tua needs to come in. I agree with you in this situation. I think the only way Tua comes in is if it's an emergency situation. But then again, Jalen Hurts has been in emergency situations. He has taken the load on his back and has carried Alabama before. But I just think that Tua possibly in this game needs limited reps and let it be Jalen's team this week.
I agree. And the game, you can catch it this weekend at 3:30 p.m. On CBS, 2:30 p.m. Central if you live in the central part of the country. And let's go over some college games, some significant college games last week. And the first one we got to go over, LSU-Georgia. LSU defeated Georgia 36-16. LSU was leading most of the way, and then Georgia was, you know, starting to come back. But LSU dominated. They protected home, and they moved up from the 13th rank to the to fifth. So LSU is still alive.
Oh, absolutely. They were still alive going into this game, which a lot of people were downplaying this game because of the loss that LSU sustained to Florida from the previous week. A lot of people were looking past this game and looking at as the Oregon-Washington game as the game to watch for the weekend. And I debated that just because there is still a lot of football to be played, especially in the SEC East and West. This game completely caught me by surprise. I did not expect LSU to just dominate Georgia. I just didn't think that LSU was going to be able to. Rushing attack for Georgia is pretty powerful. Now, Fromm has been putting up some mediocre performances here as of late, and turned in another one this past week. LSU's defense just came in just ready to strike, and boy, did they. And, man, I tell you, Baton Rouge is a special place. Say what you will, man. I don't know if it's some voodoo from the stands or Bobby Boucher and his family on the sidelines helping out. There's something about playing at Tiger Stadium that just does some crazy things. LSU by no means is out of the picture. They weren't ever, and they are still proven to be one of the top teams in the country. They've beaten four top 10 teams this year. No one else has come close to boasting that kind of resume. So LSU is looking to be pretty solid and setting up a pretty incredible showdown in Baton Rouge in 2 weeks.
That is the game that we've both been talking about, and pretty much everyone else has been talking about. This past game, what happened with Georgia has now put more pressure on you guys, on Alabama. I know Nick Saban watched that game afterwards, and he's like, man, this team is a team to be reckoned with.
Oh, absolutely, man. I think he's looking at every game as this is a must-win situation.
But this is the big one. This one's the biggest one, like, on the calendar. I really do think so.
I mean, this could quite conceivably be the midseason national championship because the winner is set to go to the college football playoff, you know, barring something completely ridiculous from happening. But this is the tell-all for both teams. Matter of fact, I strongly think this game right here will determine the outcome of Tua Tagovailoa's Heisman Trophy chances.
Wow.
If he comes out and wins that game and wins big, then his Heisman Trophy doesn't watch college football.
Or at least doesn't watch SEC football. One of the toughest conferences in the country, top five. And what do you think about Georgia? You think they're still alive, or do you think they just got to win out? And I mean, what is their fate now?
They're still alive. They're still alive. They do definitely have to win out. Right now, after that loss, they can definitely rebound like they did last year. You know, they had a humbling loss to Auburn this past year, and was beaten quite convincingly, similar to what we saw this past Saturday. But they were able to rebound and just steamroll into the SEC championship and the college football playoff. Now you got to ask: is this team going to be able to respond just like they did last year? Are the leaders of that team, the upperclassmen, going to be able to provide the leadership necessary to get them moving back in that direction? They're not out of it by any shape of imagination. Matter of fact, it is set up an all-important date in Jacksonville against Florida. So that game is going to determine the East, but also is going to determine who's going to the SEC championship, as well as quite possibly the college football playoffs. It's still Georgia's to lose.
Yeah, things are still unraveling in the SEC and also in the country. Let me read you the top AP top 25 of college football. Number one is Alabama. Two, Ohio State. Three, Clemson. Fourth, Notre Dame. Fifth, LSU. Sixth, Michigan. Texas, Georgia, Oklahoma, and UCF. The most significant, of course, was LSU going up eight spots. And, of course, Michigan going up six spots. How do you see the table?
I think the table, as it shows, is how it should be right now. I don't think there's any disparity right now. Still don't quite believe in Ohio State. They haven't quite done anything impressive just yet, but neither has Clemson, neither has Alabama. And, yeah, I'm an Alabama guy. I just said that. But right now, LSU's got the best resume in the country. But I think what we see right now is the truth. Still waiting for Notre Dame to see what they're going to do. We've seen this before. Are they going to be the real deal, or are they going to be the typical Notre Dame that has some kind of come apart and drops? Remains to be seen. They struggled against Pittsburgh this past weekend, as I predicted. I thought that was going to be a tough game for them. And it was, but they were still able to do just enough to win ugly. And sometimes you got to do that against teams, especially after coming off an emotional win. But I think the top 10 is looking pretty much right.
I agree. I think the top 10 is definitely looking interesting. I agree with you on Ohio State. I'm not really impressed with them, but it is what it is. We'll see what happens in their future games in the upcoming weeks.
If you really look at their schedule, they really don't have anybody that really strikes fear in them and looking at the possible loss until they play Michigan. And to be quite honest with you, I'm not quite sold on Michigan yet. I don't think that they can hang with Ohio State unless they pick up the game offensively. But it remains to be seen. So right now, Ohio State has a path set for them to the college football playoff leading up to the Michigan game.
And you would say the same for Clemson?
Absolutely. The ACC is down this year, not quite as strong as we had hoped. However, the game they have this weekend against NC State is definitely going to be a challenge. If they get past that, I really don't see anyone really posing as a threat to them.
Well, we'll see what happens. We're in October, Red October, they call it. And these next upcoming weeks and next month or two, we'll definitely see the unraveling of who is the top four. I think the BCS poll comes out till next month, right?
Right, the college football playoff poll will be next month.
Yeah, so we'll see any surprises. I'm really interested it feels like LSU cannot afford a loss. I think Alabama can lose one game and still be okay.
LSU could afford a loss if they were to beat Alabama. But I don't want to think about that. But LSU possibly could quite afford one more loss. But the thing is, they would have to beat Alabama.
Wow. Well, we'll see what happens.
I mean, it's just going to be interesting how things unravel over the next few weeks. This Red October is going to set up a very interesting November. A lot of quality matches that are going to really determine how the polls are going to shape up, especially leading up to the conference championships.
Yeah, conference championship. I hope they put more weight to that this year than last year.
I think that they really are, because the past three seasons, you've had teams that were voted in who did not win their conference. As a matter of fact, who didn't compete in the conference championships. And there's just been a lot of grumbling about that, a lot of negativity generated from that. I think this year, they're really going to push to avoid that happening again. But then again, you know, you may run into the same problem again. So it's just going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
And let's see what happens. Anyways, we're going towards the end of our show. Are you ready for some predictions?
Absolutely.
Michigan State at Michigan.
Man, definitely going to be an interesting game. Definitely going to be a very boring game because neither offenses really have any kind of flair about them. Kind of playing similar, like old school Big Ten football. It's kind of hard for me to pick this one, but I think that Michigan should win this one. I don't think they have any letdown from the win over Wisconsin.
NC State at Clemson. This game is very pivotal for Clemson because NC State is now ranked.
This is probably going to be one of the better games of the weekend. I like that this game. I think NC State is a very tough team. They have a good quarterback in Ryan Finley, who's passed for 1,621 yards and has 10 touchdowns, and a lot of people don't know North Carolina State is undefeated because not only many are paying attention to them, but the Wolfpack are always a tough bunch and have always been very competitive. And going to, like I said earlier, going to be the first, I guess, real challenge for this Clemson team in the ACC. A lot of people are putting a lot of focus on Trevor Lawrence, who in my mind I think is still growing in that Clemson offense and still growing, you know, as a quarterback. A lot of people are kind of anointing him the next great thing. Not so fast, my friend, just hold up. I think the real workhorse of this team and the person who is the leader of this team is the running back, Etienne, who's got 761 yards with 11 touchdowns. And I think that he's going to carry the load and is going to carry Clemson to a close victory over North Carolina State.
Mississippi State at LSU.
This is going to be an interesting game to watch. A lot of people are really questioning how good is Mississippi State. You know, they had a loss against Kentucky that they really shouldn't have lost. Had a close loss against Florida, again, a game that many felt that they should have won. And then they turn around and just manhandle Auburn to the surprise of a lot of people, which is causing us to ask the question, is Mississippi State really this good, or was Auburn really that bad? And we got a good answer this past weekend, because Auburn lost to a Tennessee team who has not won an SEC game in, I believe, 8 or 9 tries, and allowed their quarterback to pass for over 300 yards against them. So Auburn right now is reeling, and we really don't know what Mississippi State's about. Last year, they were able to sneak up on LSU. At that point last year, LSU was struggling to really find an identity. They were having some issues, lost to a Troy team that they really shouldn't have lost to, a lot of frustration. They really weren't expecting Mississippi State to generate the kind of offensive firepower they generated with Nick Fitzgerald and company. But this year, I don't think they're going to be quite surprised. I think that they're going to be ready for Mississippi State. I think that revenge is going to come into play right now. And this is really a prove-it game for both of them. Mississippi State is going to prove how good they are. LSU, this is just another notch for them to prove how good they are.
Because they proved it last weekend with Georgia, though.
Well, they did. Now, can they be consistent? That's the question, because they lost to a Florida team they really shouldn't have lost to.
You think they could have beaten Florida?
I think they could have. I still don't believe that Florida's offense, led by their quarterback they got, is as good as what they showed. I think they got a great running game. I think Jordan Scholl is one of the best and most underrated running backs in the SEC and possibly the nation. But I still think, from a talent perspective, LSU was the better team. So maybe it was just one of those fluke weird games. I don't know. But we're kind of, you know, drifting away from the subject here. I think LSU is a much better team, a more well-rounded team. I think that Mississippi State, as good as Nick Fitzgerald is, and that backfield led by Hill, who's one of the better running backs in the SEC as well, definitely very good. However, Mississippi State is very one-dimensional, and no one respects Nick Fitzgerald's passing game because it's really not that good. And if they force him into a situation where he's got to win that game with his arm, he's just not going to do it. And so I think LSU is going to put down Mississippi State and put them down convincingly.
Oregon Ducks at Washington State.
Okay. This is going to be a very interesting game to watch. A lot of people are saying this is going to be a trap game after a pretty incredible victory for Oregon this past weekend over Washington in overtime, which was really huge in their quest to win the conference. Their division of the Pac-12 is really competitive right now, and this is going to be another tough challenge for them. But many people don't know about Washington State is they got a pretty decent quarterback. I'm not sure if anyone's got as many yards or more yards than what he's got. 2,422 yards with 19 touchdowns this year. Of course, one would expect a Mike Leach-led quarterback to have a lot of yards because, I mean, that's all he does is pass. Because, I mean, their running back's only got 260 yards and 5 touchdowns, so not a whole lot out of that running game. However, it's a gimmicky type offense. If you can shut it down, you can kind of render them powerless. I think Oregon is just too physical for Washington State. Washington State doesn't really handle physical very well. And while Herbert is gaining a lot of the attention, I think the running game of Oregon, led by C.J. Verdell, is going to win this game for the Ducks.
And finally, Alabama at Tennessee.
Alabama and Tennessee, man, one of my favorite games of the season. Definitely lost its luster over the past several seasons, really the decade, because Tennessee has not been a Tennessee that we all grew up with. But it's always a big game for Alabama fans. Very meaningful. It's going to be interesting to watch. I think Alabama is going to go in there focused, and I think Jeremy Pruitt is going to have a hard time beating his mentor, former head coach Nick Saban. Do like Jeremy Pruitt and what he did for Alabama when he was there, and definitely excited about what his future is going to look like for Tennessee. I just don't think that Tennessee quite has the offensive output needed to beat Alabama or to hang with Alabama offensively, unless something crazy happens, which sometimes happens in college football. And like I mentioned earlier and highlighted quite often, Tennessee is just a very, very young team, especially in that secondary and the defense as a whole. A lot of young guys, some players out due to injury. I think Tennessee's probably going to give Alabama some fits in the first half. They're going to play hard. They're going to play inspired. But that's going to wear off come the second half, and I think Alabama is going to pull away. I think Alabama will score 41 points to Tennessee's 14.
41 to 14, says it Justin Riley. And finally, a little news today. Nick Bosa is leaving Ohio State. He's going to cure an injury, and he said he's going to try to stay healthy till the NFL draft. What are your thoughts?
Figured I'd bring that up after my little debate earlier on our sportscast chat.
Why not, right?
Well, I kind of hate the fact that he's going to be leaving his team and going to be leaving the university. I think that he should stay with the team and be there for his teammates, if it's just in a supporting role. But also, too, I think from a leadership standpoint, for the underclassmen, I think he needs to be there from a leadership standpoint to motivate those guys and also work with these guys who are up and coming, especially people who are going to be stepping in for him, and just really work with them and really work on building them and preparing them every game as they prepare for what may be a run to the college football playoff. I don't necessarily agree with him taking off. Now, from a business standpoint, I understand that. It's becoming a trend now for players to kind of take off to better protect themselves for the NFL and NFL draft. And he certainly sustained a pretty serious injury. And I get what he's doing. And I mean, I understand it from a business standpoint. It's a good decision. You gotta wonder, I know some people might debate this, you gotta wonder, is it going to affect where he is drafted? A lot of people say, no, it's not. He's gonna be a top five pick, but a lot can really happen between now and April. And, you know, minds can change.
Hearts can change.
Other players can rise up. Hearts can change. Well, it can. And the NFL is very fickle. And other players rise up. Ideas change. Wants change. A lot of stuff just, it's not for sure. I mean, I could be wrong. He could still go top five as projected. But then again, like I said, he could drop out of the top five. Sort of. But then again, I mean, you still draft the top 10 or in the first round, you're still going to get a payday. I mean, come on. You're still getting $1 million. I mean, you're not hurting for nothing.
That is right.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just my thought. I mean, I'm on the fence about it. I mean, I have valid points for both sides of it. Definitely don't want him to risk injuring himself any further. And if he's not 100% or even 80%, I guess he really has no business playing, but still be there for your team and still be that leader that your teammates need.
Exactly. Especially when Ohio State is in the running, if they were kind of like, you know, out or they're not having a good season, then maybe, but this will not fly under Nick Saban's watch. And we got...
Well, yeah, I just have one point. You're absolutely right. This isn't some team that's like a middle-of-the-road team or who's, you know, fighting for third place in their division. This is a team that is fighting for an opportunity to quite possibly make a run at the national championship.
Yeah. I don't know how he sees it. Hopefully he can make reconsider. Loyalty is a lot. That could really spell out a lot of his character, which might give a red flag to NFL teams, but we'll see who sees it. And one of our listeners is asking, is Dabo a better coach than Saban?
At this point in his career, no. He's not that level yet. Is he getting better? Yes. Will he be as good and or possibly better than Saban? It remains to be seen. I just don't think that you can really ask that question at this point in his career, because there are two different levels, two different stages of their career. So I think it's really unfair to bring that up.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Dabo is one of the best in the country, and quite possibly may be one of the best ever. We shall see.
Yeah, potentially he could be better. Obviously, I think once Saban phases out or retires, I think Sweeney might take that role as one of the most prominent coaches in the country. So we'll see what happens. And if anyone have any questions, Justin, how can they reach you?
Okay. Well, you can reach me as always. Email address. 12-1 training, that's the number 12, one spelled out, training@gmail.com. As well as follow me on social media, on Facebook, facebook.com/12-1training. On Twitter and on Instagram, @12-1training. I'd love to hear any of questions you have about college football, as well as fitness and what your needs may be there. Matter of fact, the first five people who contact me after this sportscast, whether it be through email, Instagram, Twitter, to ask me a question, I'll give you a week meal plan. How about that?
That's a good deal. I would not hesitate to do that. So contact Justin Riley at 12-1 training. Anyways,
absolutely, bring it on.
Couple big games this weekend, but everyone's prepping up for next week's game. This weekend, I think we'll see if Oregon continues their trend, beating Washington State. We'll see if Alabama will probably beat Tennessee. It's an old rivalry game. And same for LSU. They got to continue. They got to still, win these games, these small games. You can't take them for granted. You can't take Florida for granted. They might have saw Florida as a weak team. No, they're not. I mean, they're a legitimate team. Mississippi State is a legitimate team. Same for Clemson. They're playing NC State. You can't overlook them. You got to start your players. You got to make them work, because there's no gimmies in life. You got to win these games one at a time. It could be from Citadel to NC State to Washington State or even Tennessee. You got to win these games. Anyways, if you haven't yet, please subscribe on YouTube, subscribe on iTunes, leave a comment, review, share, tell your friends. And Justin Riley, another great week here at the Sportscast. Thanks for coming on.
Man, glad to be here yet again. Definitely love being here at this point during the season where things are starting to get really serious. And then the upcoming weeks that are ahead, man, it's going to be exciting. Also, would love to possibly do a post-game cast after the Tennessee game, just to get my real feelings on how the game panned out. But, yeah, man, great time. Enjoy being on the show.
Yes, that's our plan for this Saturday. A post-game Tennessee should be a good one. Hopefully, it'll be a great game, and we could talk about it over the sportscast. Guys, thanks for watching. Thanks, Justin.
All right. You're welcome anytime, bud.